Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either dial on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com. And search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall @gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is Franz Games. FranzGmes. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account there is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to Twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PaulFranz. Yes, there is no T in there. And of course, I have a secondary account called Franz Games. And it announces this podcast, news, and different client updates. And of course, whenever the greatest and latest Starfleet Warlord game gets started, and of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. This week, there was a steady work on the current projects, but more importantly, they released 101, that's over 100, new items on the shop on Shapeways on March 1st. That's a new record. Now, the one thing Steve Cole did mention in the blog post, which is, this is aberrant. Well, this will not be happening in the next 2 months. We'll be limited to 50 apiece. I don't want to do 100 a month, honestly, because I think I'll just get totally and utterly burnt out doing 100 a month. So I'm glad that they're limiting it. Now, Steve Cole was busy working on Capsule number 53. Of course, the blogs, like the one announcing what's going on at ADB. And of course, he was also doing the art for the Zinni Master Starship book. And of course, all the Shapeways stuff. Now, Steve Petrick was also busy working on the SFB updates and the Gorn and Zinni Master Starship books. Always good to see. Gene was busy, of course, uploading the Shapeways ships up the Shapeways. So you people out there can actually enjoy those wonderful miniatures. Also, busy, you know, dealing with customers and make sure that they are happy. Happy customer buys more product. Always, that's a good thing to remember. When it comes to the SMB Online tournaments, we will be having a Master 2018 tournament run by Andrew Koch. I meant to set up a sign-up page last weekend. Didn't happen. It will definitely happen this weekend. At the very latest, it will happen Sunday. I'm hoping to do it before then. The RAT 47 tournament, the finals actually have started, which is good to see. Two turns have gotten done. The Gorn and the Tholing have been playing hide-and-seek around different web walls that the Tholing has thrown up. And the Gorn has taken approximately 10 points of damage to his shield. Moving forward to the Platinum Hat tournament, the 2017 tournament, we had a problem and it looks like two of the round one players have dropped out. So the round one game that we've all been waiting for to complete is not going to get completed. It's going to get replacement players and we're going to get that completed so we can move on to round two, which has two games need to be completed, and one of those is mine. The other one is because round one has not been completed. Actually, my round two game is actually going quite well. You know, nothing earth-shattering. I've taken a bit of shield damage. I actually was able to get to range 5 on the last turn before we ended, you know, our session, because of he's on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, and therefore we can start, like, for me, like 9 o'clock my time. But because the weeknight, I had to cut it off at 11. So we've actually gotten like 3 hours of game time in, which I think is completed around 3 turns, which is good to see. I knocked down the shield number 5 for the Gorn, and he's taking 2 internals. 2 wonderful forward hull. which is not frustrating. I would have liked power, or more importantly, weapons. That would have been nice. But didn't happen, so okay, whatever. You know, hey, I got the shield down, which is the most important, because then, of course, I can do the go to hack and slash, because I knocked it down on impulse 32. I can then hit it again on impulse 1, which is going to be awesome. Of course, the one bad thing is that I got Plasma F heading right towards me. It's going to go pop right on my number 1 shield. So I paid for me to get to range 5. But I got him cornered, which is good, because of with the next turn coming up, turn number 4, he'll have another Plasma S ready. So that means he'll have one Plasma S, and if he wants to, he can do a fast load F when it comes to his major torps. Now, of course, actually, he did fire 4 phaser 1s on impulse 32, so that's good to see that he used those facing towards me. So we will see how that all turns out. I'm hoping to play on Saturday. There has been no announcement, meaning Paul has not gotten back to me exactly if he's been able to do that, because he needed to check with his wife. If not, we're going to see if we can play on Sunday. So we'll just have to wait and see. Quick update on Starfleet Battle Force. I know it's a weird one. And that is, I watched quite a few videos in the past week and about how to do a card game using the Unity engine. So I went, okay, I can do that. So I've got the assets imported. I'm starting to define the game objects. I'm hoping to have an initial board layout done by next week. So here's the problem. I would love to do a screenshot and then show everyone what it's going to look like. The problem is people get too excited by that. They assume that since I got a screenshot, that, oh, it's a ready game, when can I play it? It's like, no, I don't have a ready game for you. So I'm just going to tell you guys that I'm working on it. I will not show it until I can at least have available on in beta form. So when it comes to library progress, not much done there. You know, actually, nothing. Actually, I might have gotten something done, but I have not processed the latest conversions from Jason. I think he said he has like 5. And I'm not sure whether his were updates to current ones or they're actually new conversions. So at the moment, the conversions that have been processed are, and they have been completed, is 2,390. And yet to be converted is still 939. So unfortunately, no, there's been no progress. And I really want to see progress on this. It's March. Come on, people. I will have to look at the Andromedan to see what I can do there. I'm willing to bet that I think I still have to get done. If I recall correctly, I got all of the Andromedans done, the initial ones done, but I still have to do from scratch the ground bases. Because I looked at the ground bases when it comes to the first gen/second gen SSDs, and the problem is that they're crap. They're nothing. They're junk. They're not correct at all. And so, unfortunately, nobody actually noticed that the ground bases for the Andromeda were wrong. So I need to put more like initial base configuration together in 3D, you know, the third generation, and then start just doing it all by hand. Instead of doing a quick conversion, I have to do it individually by hand. I'm going to do it probably every single one by hand. Because otherwise, it's kind of goofy. The other way to do it is to actually do the conversion, you know, fix up the original ones, the first gen, and then convert them to third gen. And I was like, no, that's kind of crazy. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to create them as third gen to begin with. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have, of course, the wonderful, lovely chat room. And also on the call, we actually have Gary Carney. How are you doing, Gary?
Not too bad. It's been quite a while. Hope everyone's okay.
Yep. Everything is going good. I'm going to be taking off of work tomorrow and going to go pick up my daughter and bring her back home for spring break, which is going to be awesome. Of course, that means 6 hours of driving back and forth, but actually probably more like somewhere between 6 to 8 altogether. But personally, I don't care. I like to drive, especially, you know, driving up to northern Pennsylvania. It's beautiful country, you know. The thing I've yet to do is actually travel up to Canada, which I think would be awesome.
Cool. So I'm just going to post a link here because I think the last time I was around, I think it was halfway while there during the call, but I didn't actually get the call in, but I showed up and I was trying to, I don't know, I sent a message, I don't remember, but in any case, I wanted to mention the, I posted a few pictures on the FC forum.
Yeah.
About some of the less than spectacular paint jobs I tried to do on some of the new Shapeways miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Just tell me if, I just tried to post the link there. I don't know if it works or not.
Yeah, it brings up, okay, there it is. Okay, took a little bit of time for it actually to load the images. Ooh. Well, you might not think that is a good paint job, but I think they look awesome.
Well, I like to say that they're like only half done, but how much further done I'll be able to get done is another story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so basically what you're looking at are like 3 Metron ships, the Dreadnought, the Heavy Cruiser, and Light Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Volpa and Blockade Runner. And you can see actually because the Volpa are kind of like a splinter faction from the Metron. So the Volpa ship, it's got some similar design features, but it has changed differences than others. And I also tried to do an alternate paint scheme for the Volpa ship, so it's more kind of orangey, burnt orangey.
Okay.
But I kind of like, and actually you'll notice that like the 3 Metron ships have this common firing platform that's on the, like on the back of the ship, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the Volpa ship doesn't have that, so it's another way to help the thing. Okay. So, and then also there's a Romulan Demon Hawk, the 3125 scale.
And,
There's Will McCammon's 3125 Galactic Survey Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the one I'm least keen on paint color, but the paint scheme one is because I really suck at painting either Federation or Federal Republic of Wars. So, Romney one I'm kind of like dicey on, but the Mace Runners also, I think they turned out decently enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as I actually discovered, kind of, the Volpa color scheme kind of came up by, like, I knew I wanted to have something different, so mm-hmm. I was like trying to figure out what it would be, so I was kind of like experimenting. I tried painting yellow on the side, and then I was using a red wash on the Mace ship to help bring out some of the color, but then I tried to put the red wash on the yellow and it came kind of orangey, so turns out that Volpa on the map actually have like their territory is colored orange instead of red, so
it
works in that sense.
Okay.
But there's like a few interesting details on the mini, like mm-hmm. the Volpa, it has a prow tachyon gun, but it's actually underneath the nose, whereas on the Light Cruiser the tachyon gun is on the top of the nose.
Oh, okay.
So, just a couple little, like, nice little things like that, whatever, to help, like,
mm-hmm.
This famous one. So hopefully I'll be able to arrange a new, another edition in the not-so-distant future.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy in the chat room is like, you know, going out of his way to add a few extra things to Shapely from a certain region of space, so...
Yeah, I agree with MG that I like the orange. And overall, the Fed GSE looks pretty nice. Obviously, I think we both agree that the some of the blue didn't turn out, but I like the cloudy, overall color and the kind of pattern scheme kind of thing that's going on. I really like that. I think that's really interesting compared to the plain white that we're used to seeing.
Well, it actually kind of came out of a failed attempt to jury-rig some blackwash out of stuff that was not blackwash. But basically, I tried to put a dab on one corner of the saucer, and I kind of figured that it wouldn't look. I mean, basically, it either looks none of it or all of it. But I suppose my retroactive reasoning with that is basically the ship's been away from space dock for a while, so it's gotten pretty stealthy,
Yeah, just like MG saying, he said, it looks well used. I agree. I went into a nebula, and it's been it looks a little dirty. I like it. As I said, I that's one. Yeah. I really like that look.
Well, there's definitely been. It's actually interesting to know how, as of the March upload, there's over 100 Omega units on Shapeways now, and if you count the Volpa as a separate from the Mitron, then you've got 9 different empires that have dedicated miniatures, and 10 when the Belosco come out. Assuming they come out on schedule this month, and then 11 if the Eridani come out on schedule next month. So it's good to see. Although, of course, I'd hope that there'd be more people out there who would be keen to add some of these Stellar collections as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the Omegas myself, just because of they're more unique looking ships compared to the Romulans and the Klingons. Good grief. Klingons really haven't changed in a long time. Yes, I like some of the things that some of the sculptors have done with the Klingons, but still, it's the Klingons compared to the Mazaron and the Volpa, which I think have a more unique look to them.
Well, the Mitrons did most recently get their, they're one of the empires to get their first gunboats through. I'm not sure how, because they, in universe, they're quite big, relative to an Alpha Upton gunboat. But I'm not too sure how that comes across in the final answer. But well enough, I hope. And what else was I going to say? Something. Whatever. But
the only problem
actually is also there's actually a few different there's a thread that was posted recently. Giving a first look at both the Orions, and then a separate one giving a look at the Andromedans.
Right, right.
The Orion one, there's 2 people competing to do them. And I should note that in either case, if there's anyone could use one of the Raider cruisers to represent, there's a ship in the Federal Republic of Aurora called the Throne of Ozymandias, which it was basically dragged along with Aurora when it got shifted over to Omega, and in another place, you kind of doing a lot of the dirty jobs, the sneaky stuff, whatever, to try and keep the Republic going. So there's all sorts of shenanigans that they get up to. But it's definitely an interesting option, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, I was just taking a look while you were talking. I was taking a quick look, at the Orions, because I know I saw the Andromedans. Oops, wrong one. Oh, there it is. Andromedans, a first look. Did anything change since I looked at it? No. Yeah. They say that they have around the TARDIS hangers. Yeah. Yeah, because I think, what did they say about the, yeah, the Andromedans look like, who was it? Was it Ted? No, was it Xander? Yeah. That's the way it is. Xander. Right. Adam Turner worked on numerous Andromedan ship types with Federation Commander War and Peace, wrote the rule book. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a really I think there's like two different versions of the Dominator he did. There's one of them that's like a less fancy one, but the really fancy one, it's been used on a few different covers, like actually on the cover of War and Peace they show it like zapping an ISC ship, and then there's this art piece that he did before called Andromeda Attacks, and I think it was like a few hours too late to get it on the back cover of Module X1 Arcus. I posted a link to it in the old X1R discussion thread, and then I was all like, yeah, we already just sent the cover. We sent the cover off to be looked at a few hours ago, and I was like, oh, crap. I did manage to get it into Captain Block 49, though, so it's like one of the our pictures that helps to illustrate the Andromeda Noir history article. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was the C3A module, you know, the, what should we call it, the threat file, yes, thank you, which was, I thought it was kind of an interesting Andromedan on the front of that one.
Oh, that's the conjectural advanced technology intruder.
Yeah, that's right, I liked it, because of the look.
Yeah. Well, speaking of X-ships, did you guys already talk about the X-ship preview that was in Communique?
No, actually, no, we haven't.
Yeah, because in Communique, I want to say Communique 146 or something like that, whatever, there was a preview of basically, there's a discussion thread for it on the FC, on the EBS.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Commander Circle. Yeah, basically, the February communique for 2018, they, instead of offering, I guess, a Valentine's Day ship, they offered a preview. Oh, hang on, give me 1 second.
Okay. Okay. Darn, I wish you would posted a link to it.
Yeah, I've got a link in the, I put a link just now in the talk sheet.
Oh, okay.
There's one for the discussion thread on the BBS and another one for the PDF itself.
Hmm? Wait, this is for Federation Commander. Ah, okay. That should be interesting. Okay, this got released last month. Okay. Ah, yes, the Band of Returns. That one.
There's an actual sample ship card as well. So, like, it's not, it's like a plate provisional thing, whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
But I think one thing that would be nice to add is, because the ship cards that they have for Andromedan ships for Federation Commander, but not as of yet for Federation Commander Online, but I still got them.
I know.
They have a set of boxes to represent the power energy points that are in the batteries. So I think that there should be something similar for the X batteries here, so that when people are like keeping tabs on like how much it works a little bit differently in Federation Commander though, because it's not like an SFB where the only reserve power is in the batteries. Because in Federation Commander, it's more like the batteries are the way through which you handle shield reinforcements.
Right.
So, like for a non-X ship, if you have 3 batteries, then you're only allowed to add 3 reinforcement points to a given attack. But with X batteries, you can do like you know, 3x3, so
okay,
various things like that. But they've scaled back some of the X-chippy kind of options and stuff. So this SIP card only has standard admin shuttles, and it does not.
Yeah, I'm missing. I don't see it. Didn't you mention that
you scroll further down. It's like on page 3 and 4.
Right, but I mean, you mentioned that there was some place where it actually told you how much battery power was in the batteries.
No, I wish it did.
Oh, okay. Okay, I misunderstood. Sorry.
What I need to say is that, I think there's one of the
old... Yeah, jeez. Well, actually, okay. Does it matter? Yeah, it doesn't matter because of... there's only two things it's used for. Batteries are used for limiting the amount of reinforcement that you can place on each shield. That's number one. And the other one was how much power you actually can roll over into the next turn. So it doesn't really matter how much energy is actually in the batteries. Because, actually, that's one thing I do not know. I really don't know. I'd have to check the rules. Which maybe you know, Gary. One quick question about battery when it comes to power. If the batteries are disabled, does it lose the power? So this is a really contrived scenario. But there is the possibility of slim. You probably never ever do this, where you have all the energy available, both from the batteries and from the generated power. So that to the point where the batteries themselves, you know, if you disabled one of the batteries, then you in theory could lose power because, you know, you haven't used up any power during the turn. You know, you didn't pre-allocate anything. You decided I'm going to sit here and just sit and spin. So it's going to cost me like next to nothing energy wise. But what would happen if the batteries got disabled so that if you didn't have the batteries, you couldn't have that much energy to roll over from the previous turn?
The only time that you would, at the start of each turn in an energy allocation, if you had any power in the batteries, then you would determine it then. But the only thing that would happen is that during the course of the turn, if you got your ship was damaged and you lost the battery, then it means that you'd weaken the amount of reinforcement you could do. But of course, it's different for the Andromedans because they have like the similar issues in terms of like trying to transfer power within their ship and not blow up. Yeah,
right.
I just posted the link. There's Communique 102, and if you scroll down a bit, there's a sample, like a split card for the Andromedan Kingsnake and Diamondback, and both of those, there's like little things that show how you track the battery power in them. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, this is it. Okay, where you have... I see the energy for the batteries. Yeah, it's one thing with... I have to reread the rules. To remind people why there's no Andromeda is currently in the FedCom online. The big issue with the Andromedans is the way the PA panels are handled in FedCom is quite a bit different from that the way it's done in SFB. So I have to redo how I do PA panels. So unlike previous things where I could just kind of do a quick port from SFB to FedCom, you know, I have to actually think of, again, from scratch, I got how to manage the panels because they're totally different. They're handled differently in FedCom than they are in SFB. Things like, oh, there's no degradation. if I recall correctly, the panels, I forget. I was thinking about the panels. You don't have individuals anymore. You don't worry about individual panels being destroyed.
What they do is that they always count as running at the reinforced level, and they have like an equivalent of shield burn through, where
right.
The 10th hit bypasses the panels. But then, if you're shooting, if part of the volley includes disruptor or Carnivon disruptor cannon fire, then it's actually every 10th damage point goes through the like bypasses the panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It requires definitely a rethinking of how they're handled. Because I actually sat down and started working on it, and it's like, wow, this is gonna be quite a bit of work.
Well, I suppose the question remains as to whether or not there's actually enough of your paying customers who want it.
Right. But at the same time, it'd be nice for me to have around. Just like what I would really like to do is get Starfleet Marines up and running on the online client, because I actually would like to play them. You know? So, and for the most part, the rules are relatively simple, as I pointed out multiple times. The biggest issue usually with the Starfleet Marines is all the exceptions. You know, the turn goes, bump, 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 bump. But there are all these little options that you have within those segments. Because part of it works a little like F&E in when it comes to the reactionary phase. Where, your opponent gets to move, but you can react to their movement if you're close enough. Which is what F&E does. But, the X-Ships, that'd be kind of cool to have in FedCom. As is, when it comes to paying customers, FedCom is actually quite a bit less than SFB. I don't see that many, not too many people actually play FedCom online these days. Most people are SFB, and of course, we have the tournaments going on, and actually, we do have some campaigns, because every once in a while, I drop in and I see a campaign game going. I really wish these people would actually tell me that they're running a campaign, because then I would, if they give me a little bit of updates, I actually can kind of announce it, and maybe even, I think it would be great for me, would be having it so that they can announce the games beforehand, so people could show up and actually watch the games. But, I don't think they're in campaign, so they're not really interested in getting people to show up to watch the games, because they just don't want to play their game. But of course, that'd be benefit to me, because then I could actually encourage people to, hey, 9 o'clock on Friday, they're gonna have a grand campaign game, they're gonna resolve one of the combats right there. So why don't you come and join us?
I guess another thing I wanted to mention is there's been a few other projects that are in the works for Shapeways. Like there's a new Xinti tug, and what's interesting is that in Captain's Log 50, there were two. I mean, actually, the CL50 supplemental file, there were two. SFCs done for an early and middle years alternate heavy cruiser. That's basically because in the early years material, it's shown that the hull form that became the Kennedy tug was actually originally their warp refitted light heavy cruiser. So in this case, what these other SFCs, whatever, they kind of represent like an alternate path towards modern heavy cruiser guns. So it's almost like how there's like the old heavy cruiser for the Federation, as well as the traditional Constitution class heavy cruiser. And So it's because the actual Steve Zamboni's done like two separate designs for them. So you can actually see that the one that's for the middle years cruiser, it's actually got the struts for the warp nacelles like pulled in also to the tug. Mm-hmm. So the ship has like a bit of a sleeker design.
Cool.
And speaking of tugs, the Klingon T7 went up recently, and the K in particular, like the panel line really seemed to bring it all together. But I couldn't help but look at it and think, I wonder if there's like a design competitor. Because you know the way, I don't know if you remember, but a few years back when the Starline 2500 thing was still a thing, there was an attempt to come up with this alternate design that was based on the Stellar Shadows D-17 design ship, but it didn't really go anywhere. So,
mm-hmm.
But in principle, like, I suppose you know, somebody could do like some new design, like as in like a parallel design to the Tug that could have been offered as a competitor to the D-7 or whatever. So that'd be interesting. But oh yeah, and it's been pointed out that there are also 1-285 scale fighters in the works. So there's a discussion thread because I think it was originally meant to be 1-200, but then the scale was adjusted to make things work better or something. So I don't know if you've seen any of them yet.
Nope, no. Actually, the thing is, one thing I was going to mention was that I happened to look at the Caligar for a moment, and I'm looking at those and going, you know, if people could actually use the Caligar the quote unquote ships as almost a base, you know, you can easily imagine, not an SFB. But in some other sci-fi universe, that the color guard, the ships could be considered like bases because of the globes, you know. I can see that easily being used for bases. Oops.
Well, they do have a distinct look to them compared to even other Omega fleets. Actually, I even noticed that with the Gorn ships that just went up recently, some of the wings, they kind of they're very reminiscent of the wings on the Prober ships. Like they've got the same kind of not quite rectangly shape, like you know, like sawed off corner at the end or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how big they are by comparison, though.
Right.
But first, I can think of a certain set of screeching space birds that show up. I could alternately show up to cause one or the other a lot of trouble. But I wonder, like, how long it'll be before any of those start showing up in Shapeways. They might be a fair bit further down the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
One would guess.
I'm sorry, that's a weird name. I was looking at the Gorn ships, and one was called the Megalosaurus. It's Megalosaurus Light Cruiser.
Yeah, all the Gorn ships have dino names.
Hmm. Oh, understood. But the one thing that catches my eye is the whole use of Megalosaurus. You know, mega, as in huge, big. You know. But it's a light cruiser. So to me, that seems kind of
well. There's weird. Always the experimental cloak-equipped Gorn ship. That do you think he's ours?
Actually, did they? Let's just say, did they have the? Was it acrylic? Is it? That's the clear material.
Well, Frost's ultra detail is kind of semi-translucent.
Right? Oh, okay.
I don't know if I mentioned before, but I have the when I first got the Demon Hawk, Wow. If you turn it upside down, you can see the windows through the bottom of the nose.
Okay. Yeah, the transparent acrylic, which is not bad. Okay, all the big fighters. Okay. I was looking at the big fighters, the link that you just sent, and I'm looking at these small craft. It's like, okay, one of the small craft is basically a tiny, looks like Fed CA, but I know it's supposed to be one of the PFs, which is still, I'm sorry. A PF that actually looks like a Federation heavy cruiser in design. That just seems weird. Because, well, even the Klingons, it goes more for like a very boxy look. I wouldn't think that a Federation PF would actually look like a Federation heavy cruiser. You know?
Well, it has like the one that Willem Cowan did. I thought it looked pretty cool. Like, it's the secondary hull is kind of like tucked straight into the saucer, and it's very like it's much blockier than like a bigger ship or whatever. But of course, I should point out that those PFs do actually become historical over in the Dark Future timeline for the Darwin discovered / created.
Right. But
well, there, how useful they are when the androids start throwing around the Devastator and the Devara battleships is another story.
Yeah. At that, jeez, that's a question, which is with the Devastator on Shapeways, will it be a single piece or will it be a two-piece ship because of how large it might be?
Well, bear in mind that the Hive ship, there's like two versions of the Hive ship available now, and one of them is 6 inches long.
Is that a single piece?
Yep.
Wow.
I think all of the... And then there's like giant versions of things like the Igneous and Space Manta and Juggernaut. Because I think the largest Juggernaut right now is one of the, either the Dreadnought-sized ones, but there is there was a mock-up that was shown on the BBS where the Juggernaut battleship was in the works as well, and you can imagine just how enormous that one would be. But although it's interesting though is that the Juggernauts have already gotten to the stage where they've been spun out of the they can no longer count under the monster category. They've actually got their own separate heading. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like an extreme-sized planet killer. It shows like a picture of it. It basically has to be held up by two different stands. And
yeah, you're right.
So what's curious though is that because the 3D sample, like the 3D like mock-up that they show, for example, the one for the Igneous, it's actually on its side. Like the 3D image is like resting on one of the points of the star.
Okay.
So, it's not actually the way you would use it when you play it.
Right. But, okay, I see it.
It's also interesting that the Space Mantas, two of them anyway, have different wings. Like,
mm-hmm.
Small and large one, the wings are sweeping down, and then on the medium one, they're being lifted up as if the creature's going...
Right. At the moment, I'm also looking at the large... the planet killer. Oh, there's the extreme one. Yeah, as I think you pointed out before. It just needs two stands. Okay, let me switch that to inches. 1.5 by 6 by 1.5. That's up. Right. The extreme planet killer is about 6 inches and designed for two flight stands. Dang, man. Actually, I'm pretty sure I could have sworn that the Seltorian hive ship was the same way. Of course, also the Seltorian, the large hive ship, is $49.
Well, that's just in the WSF. Like, if you decide to get it in like something like fast ultra detail, the price really shoots up.
Yikes! Dang it, man. The white acrylic is $200. And then same for the transparent acrylic. Costs $200. That's kind of nuts.
All right, so I don't know how much longer I have on the card, so I might have to bail out for now.
Okay.
I just want to say hi, and also thank Matt Lawson for all his work on the Shapeways front, and also everyone else like Will McCammon and everyone in ADB and all the other designers like Zamboni and Azipak and stuff who are like doing fine work themselves, like expanding things further. And long may it continue.
Agreed. Thank you for calling up and spending your own money to do so.
That's okay. All right. So, talk to you all later.
Okay. Yeah. Good night. Okay. Bye. Bye. Yeah. It's good. It's good to have Gary back. I kind of missed him. You know. But okay. With that, I'm going to move forward on to the next topic. And what we're going to do is probably do one more topic, and then we will close, shut, you know, and wrap this whole thing up. What I wanted to do, actually, was to talk about Starfleet Battle Force. Now, I think I'm not sure if I mentioned it last week or the week before. Maybe one of those two. But anyway, which is the possibility of actually using Unity, the Unity engine, to actually create a card game using Starfleet Battle Force. Because I had most of the assets, because of someone had already done it for Vassal, so the assets were actually part of that module. And since the person who actually did it didn't actually own the IP, ADB actually owns the IP, I can definitely use it. I can use the ADB's IP with no problem. Obviously, I kind of feel bad because the person did all the hard work for me. Thank you very much. But there's other assets that are included in the module, which I will not be using just because of I'm not sure where they got the assets. The graphics, you know, the graphic files, and also it has a couple of sound. I'm not sure where those sounds came from because they might not be licensed, which you know, kind of licensing are tied to those sounds. So I won't be using that either. But more moving forward, I've got the assets already into, you know, the basic scene within Unity. So what I want to do is to I'm starting to create the game objects and starting to create the scripts that are part of that game object. What I want to do by the end of next week, hopefully by the time we talk next week, what I'd like to do is actually be able to do new initial board, you know, because here's the part of the discussion I really want to have with you guys, just because of invariably one thing I like to do actually is talk to you guys about this kind of stuff so at the very least I can work it out in my own mind. One of those things that I've been thinking about is how do I monetize this? Because normally the monetization model is really simple, which is what you do is you sign up for Starfleet Battles or FedCom. And to play games, what you have to do is you have to, you know, you can do a free, so, you know, you can use the free, the demo mode, which comes with free ships, which are limited in number of ships, because you have, like, for the FedCom, you have the FedCA and the Klingon D7, and when it comes to SB, you have to play the tournament ships, you know, which is pretty much same ship. Same ships. You know, the Klingon D7 and the Federation Heavy Cruiser. Same thing. But that's the monetization model that I use for those things. Now, for this, the initial release, I plan on doing kind of a solo game. Now, that gives me two possibilities. And unfortunately, the one, the question is whether it will sell much. And that is, create a game that people can download and then you pay to buy the game. So then you can play solo. Now, what I can do is make it a purchase of a solo game, and then to, if you want to play against another person at some future, you know, then it'll cost you a subscription to actually play online against that person, against other people. Now, the big issue, obviously, with doing something along those lines, well, one, within Unity, I'm not sure what they use for a multiplayer. Yes. I'll get to that in just a moment, MG. And that is, so how would you do that? Because currently, the interface, you basically log into the client, and after the client, then you sign into a general room where everyone meets up. It's called the SMB bullpen. That's where everyone meets, and then you can start a game from there. I forget if that's, I don't think it's quite the same model for other games where they have an actual bullpen where people can actually just chat. They don't even have to play a game. They can sit there and chat. I think Vassal has that ability, but I'm not sure if any other game actually has that kind of ability. Now, as MG pointed out, another monetization model is, of course, the one thing I was also thinking about tonight as we're going for a walk. And that is that one of the other monetization model is, of course, add-ons. You want to buy this deck, buy that deck, you know, buy this expansion, all that kind of thing. It will cost you more money. Now, obviously, there are some drawbacks with doing that thing, which is that that means people are going to want to have, to a certain degree, have the ability to purchase the add-ons, and then those add-ons are going to be available, so you can have more and more artwork available. And that's going to be tough, especially since the artwork, I don't think, can be duplicated. But you know, the whole idea, as MG was pointing out, which is the having Empire-specific decks. Now, the one issue, as we talked about last week, with Empire-specific decks is that move towards, which is an alternate set of rules for Starfleet Battle Force. Instead of using the standard set of rules for playing Starfleet Battle Force, which is kind of what you want to do, because this tool becomes a twofold thing. It becomes a tool to play the game. It also becomes a tool to actually kind of market the game. Have it so that people buy the game, enjoy the game, but then you can buy the physical copy. Because then this That model is well known. Of course, what's the big issue? Da-da-da-da. Well, I only own the computer part of it. I do not own the actual physical copy, you know, the selling of the physical copies, which ADB owns. Because, what is it? Crap. Puerto Rico. That's it. Puerto Rico. There is actually an online, I'm not sure if it's online, but there's definitely a computer-based game. In addition to, of course, you have Puerto Rico, the actual board game, where you have the physical copy that you can buy. So, that's another monetization model, but unfortunately, as I mentioned, that kind of monetization model won't work for me because I don't get paid. Though, overall, I think A to B wouldn't mind that model at all. Because it encourages people to buy my version, but if they really want to play the game, they have to buy the physical copies. Now, obviously, that's when, if you go into alternate rules, that might become an issue because of the cards might not be, when it comes to the quantity, might not be exactly the same as what people are looking for. And they might be also be looking for, if I sell it on a per empire basis, people might expect to, I think people then would expect the product to be available in that same fashion. You know, the physical game. So, that leaves us with, do I just try to sell, have a kind of a demo / free version, which is limited. Obviously, it would be solo game, and then if you actually want to pay for it, then you can pay for it and you get like the whole deck. I'm not sure exactly how you create a demo model. Maybe, I don't know, have a free version which you only could play like 3 times. And then you have to pay up. Or something along those lines. Now, I would love to be able to do multiplayer. Yeah, see, BMRL, that would be a good question. He's asking, just for those who are not here, which, hey, why aren't you here in the chat room? You need to be here in the chat room. He's mentioning, say, would a demo require standard Star for the Battle Force game or a new variant? That's the question. Because of, I'm not sure exactly how the demo / free version would actually work. Would it actually be going in out? Would it actually be, as I mentioned, you know, do I limit the number of games that you can play solo, and at that point then you have to pay up? Or do I limit, i.e. using a variant, limit what cards are available? For example, only have the feds, and that's it. You don't get the Gorns, you don't get the Klingons, you don't get the Orions. So it makes things, one, a lot more difficult because of, and in that case, also modify the deck. So the deck only has the fed weapons. The idea is to encourage people to actually play and play again. I've been listening to Three Moves Ahead, and they're all kind of different ways of encouraging people, different ways of having a game run. One thing they were actually mentioning this past week is the die and restart real quickly. You know, that kind of idea where you you don't go through and you have all these save points. The idea is that you try run the object of the game is to run through the whole game without dying. And if you do that, it just restarts and it starts really quickly. The whole idea is it barely pauses. It's okay, you die, boom, you're at the beginning of the game again. You can just do that again and again, like a hamster on a wheel. But to do that, you know, certain games work well with that. But I'm not sure if Starfleet Battle Force would be that kind of game. That's why, you know, I said you have to think of a way of monetizing. You know, if we're going with the free is going to be like the solo version, and then the multiplayer is going to be the paid version, i.e., you pay for the service to play. You know, relatively cheap. You can have so it's like $10 for a quarter. You know, for 3 months, you can pay $10 and boom, you can play as much as you want. But, you know, again, then you have to worry about matchups and how you do that. Obviously, it might be something different than the way SFB and FedCom Online work. And maybe even try to encourage, because I'm not sure if Unity actually allows you to integrate like Discord or one of the voice, you know, but not voice. I was gonna say voice over IP, but not really voice over IP. It's what's the other one, which is team voice. Okay, there's another one where you can it's used a lot in like Call for Duty and things like that. So, you know. How would you match people up? It might be easy enough to have a matchup so you people just wait for matches. You know, for a person who matches up, okay, do you want to play them? And boom, you say yes or no, and boom, they'll start up a game. You know. So I think with that, we are going to wrap this up. I've said there's many questions that are left to consider. Now, I think getting started with Battle Force, getting an actual game so you actually play solo, I think it'd be great. I think Steve Cole would love to see that. You know, but as I said, you know, the tough part is going to be the monetization model. That's going to be the gotcha. And of course, it was great to have Gary around to discuss Shapeways and some of the wonderful miniatures, including the miniatures that he painted. And if you definitely get an opportunity, go to the FedCom forum. And let me see if... I think I already closed the window. Yeah, I did close the window. Sorry. But look for his posts for his miniatures because as I mentioned, I really like the way he did the Federation. And, of course, the Mazeron and the Volpa, both those, I think he did wonderful. I think you have to agree with him that his Ramen wasn't the greatest when it comes to the paint job. So, but you know, I think the Federation GSC is great with minor things about there's like stripes of blue, which I don't think work out very well, but the main color for it, which is kind of cloudy, smoky kind of thing, it's not just a solid color, it's like, as was mentioned before, a very well used TSC. So with that, I am Paul Franz and I bid you a good night.